Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Okay, so what we're trying to do in our spiritual training and our spiritual practice is to become less deluded and more virtuous. Yeah. Spiritual practice, as described in one of Venerable Geshe-la's books, is based on an understanding that happiness is and suffering are states of mind. The main causes come from the mind side, or within the mind. That happiness is the part of the mind that experiences inner peace. If our mind is peaceful, we're happy regardless of our external situation. Okay. So in any situation, it's how our mind is relating to what's appearing to it that determines whether we're miserable or happy in any situation. Okay. So we need to change our mind. So spiritual practice means recognizing and reducing and removing exaggerating, distorting, deluded states of mind and eliminating them, and nurturing, cultivating, developing positive, virtuous states of mind. Okay. So the spiritual practice is really bringing our mind away from, you know, using our wisdom to stop exaggerating, stop distorting, and believing in those exaggerations and distortions, and bring our mind closer and closer to the truth, to reality. Okay? So all virtuous mind, a virtuous mind is when you focus on that virtuous mind, or when you focus on a virtuous object, your mind is peaceful. And it's a beneficial mind. And there's either relative truth to that mind or ultimate truth to that mind. So I can look at all of you and think, how kind, right? I can see all of you as kind. And there's relative truth to that, right? You showed up. Thank you. It'd be a very lonely experience if nobody showed up. You know? Talking to myself, you know. So it's a truth to observe you and think kind, okay? A relative truth. As we'll see a little bit later, you're not inherently kind. You're not kind, you know, objectively, independently. It's actually, it's my mind that's thinking kind, isn't it? Because I could also think, you know, what a bunch of horrible people. When are they going to leave? What are you doing in my house? You know, this is so annoying. So the mind is that would be a mind that's just focusing on your faults, focusing on your unpleasant qualities, irritating qualities. And then I just have to look at you and I feel unpeaceful. Because what now I'm projecting is somebody, a bunch of people that have no good qualities, just faults. Those people don't exist either, right? But my mind is projecting that and believing that projection to be true. Oh gosh, more people. I'm just kidding. There's a couple of seats up here. There's a couple of... I think we're all right. Yeah, I think we're okay. Yep. So this is what spiritual practice is. It's changing our mind, you know, from a deluded state to a virtuous state. So in New Eight Steps to Happiness, right in the beginning, it's amazing. Like in many of Venerable Geshe's books, he gets to the deepest level of our problem, of our delusion problem, right at the beginning. So we're on page 5 here. So just to give us a little bit of a review about delusions. Delusions are distorted ways of looking at ourselves, other people, and the world around us. The way a deluded mind views these phenomena does not accord with reality. Okay? This is what a delusion is. And this, you hear this a lot in Buddhist practice, that this is the enemy. Delusions are the enemy. Delusions in my mind, delusions in your mind, they're the enemy. I'm not the enemy. You're not the enemy. No person isn't an enemy. Delusions are the enemy. Why? Because they're just distorted ways of looking at ourselves, other people, and the world around us. Delusions function to make our mind unpeaceful, uncontrolled, and they harm us from within. So he says, the deluded mind of hatred, for example, views another person as intrinsically bad. Or another word that we use in Buddhism is inherently bad. Okay, which means this person, from their own side, independent of everything else, independent of everyone else, they are an isolated, independent person that my mind has nothing to do with its creation. That person is intrinsically, inherently bad, you know, faulty, horrible. Okay, you have to have that kind of an object. Your mind has to hallucinate an intrinsically bad person to get angry, don't you? Yeah. So our mind creates through exaggeration an intrinsically horrible person and believes that to be the truth. It's delusions are like a distorted mirror. Okay, so in this case, the mind is focusing exclusively on the faults and irritating qualities of a person, and it creates in the mind an image of an intrinsically or inherently, objectively existent bad person. That is someone you can get angry at, but that person doesn't exist. That person doesn't exist. There's no such thing as an intrinsically bad person. Our mind can create one and believe in one, but such a person doesn't exist. So we call that a delusion. How do you know that person doesn't exist? Because it's not, that person isn't appearing exactly that way to everybody. That would be what an intrinsically or inherently existent person, bad person, would look like, right? It would be non-negotiable because the badness would be oozing from every pore, you know? But we love to disagree with one another because we're just disagreeing with each other's hallucinations. You know, I think they're intrinsically wonderful, says another person, you know, because I've been meditating on all their good qualities that are all good for me. They can do no wrong. You know, they're perfect in every way. Well, I think they're intrinsically bad, you know, both. So you're having an argument about whose hallucination is better. And right, you know, because that's desirous attachment. Desirous attachment, on the other hand, sees its object of desire as intrinsically good and as a true source of happiness. There are no people out there that are intrinsically good and a true source of our happiness. It's only our mind of attachment that thinks, yeah, I can think of somebody. No. Any person that you think is intrinsically good and intrinsically, from their own side, objectively, a true source of your happiness, just hang out with them day and night. What are you doing here, by the way? We're training our mind over here, you know? You should be with that intrinsic source of happiness, you know? That intrinsic source of that illusion will fade quickly, you know? That illusion will fade and disappear. He doesn't talk about people, he talks about chocolate. He says, if we have a strong craving to eat chocolate appears to us to be an intrinsically desirable object. However, once we've eaten too much of it and start to feel sick, it no longer seems so desirable and may even appear repulsive. We do this with people. This shows that in itself, chocolate is neither desirable nor repulsive. It's the mind of attachment that projects all kinds of desirable qualities and then projects onto it all kinds of desirable qualities and then relates to it as if it really did possess those qualities. Okay. All delusions function like this. Okay. All delusions function like this. We don't like to admit it, but in Buddhism, we try to be humble. You know, we come to teachings and we think we're a sick person, sick with the delusions. We would never say it out loud, but we're all delusional, you know? We're suffering from these delusions. We're hallucinating. And a false projection, all delusions function like this, projecting onto the world their own distorted version of reality and then relating to this projection as if it were true. Okay? This is the problem. For as long as our mind is under the influence of delusions, we're not in touch with reality. And in a sense, we're hallucinating. Okay, we're hallucinating. The Buddha's just saying, as long as we're hallucinating all the time, we're going to experience dreamlike suffering without freedom, without choice. But the suffering and problems are coming from the hallucinating mind, which that's the good news. Bad news is, you know, we're suffering all the time and we're constantly hallucinating false realities. But the good news is, it's just a hallucination. We can free our mind from the hallucinating mind, you know? Like people on drugs, they hallucinate reality and then they have to wait for the drugs to wear off. You know? We can't wait for this one to wear off. We've had it since beginningless time, you know? Matter of fact, we're fueling it. Because then he says, since our mind is under the influence of at least subtle forms of delusion all the time, it's not surprising that our lives are so often filled with frustration. It's as if we're continually chasing mirages, only to be disappointed when they do not give us the satisfaction for which we had hoped. This is why if we really want real peace and happiness, we need to develop our wisdom that understands, just like we understand maybe a mirage, you know? If we didn't understand a mirage to be a mirage, you know, we're in a car and it looks like we're heading into a lake, you know, in the middle of a road, like there must have been a flood or something. If we believe that mirage, that false appearance to be true, we turn around, you know, we wouldn't even get to our destination. But it's because we understand, it's just a mirage. It's just, okay, I don't really know how mirages work, but I'm going to make this up, I guess. It's the sun and the heat and the refraction. There's a big word. It's the refraction of the pavement and things, yes. Anyway, something's going on. It's not true. We're driving through it, you know? But if we're chasing mirages, you know, We're hallucinating false things and going after them as if they were true. Our attachments forcing us to chase mirages, and our anger's forcing us to get angry at hallucinations, mirages.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.